This is The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega, and today marks the 50th anniversary of the death of presidential candidate and Attorney General Robert F. Kennedy. But years before his father's death and before the death of his uncle, President John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. lived the charmed life of American political royalty. He joined us recently to talk about it.
Our home when we grew up, you know, it was the satellite White House. Many of the great battles of the Kennedy administration were orchestrated from there. Our home was filled with cabinet officials, civil rights leaders, but also with Soviet spies, with CIA spies, with Cuban guerrillas from the Bay of Pigs invasion. And we had the Green Berets doing maneuvers on our roof. And then, of course, there was all the cultural leaders and the movie stars and astronauts and athletes who were all part of this circus at Hickory Hill.
Hickory Hill was the Kennedy family home, located just outside of the nation's capital in McLean, Virginia. But despite the family's popularity, the Kennedys also had a troubled relationship with the Central Intelligence Agency, which was run at the time by Alan Dulles, the CIA's longest-serving director to date.
My uncle, President Kennedy, came into office. He already had a very antagonistic relationship with Dulles. And Dulles actually arranged the murder of the Congolese leader, Patrice Lumumba, days before my uncle took office, because he knew that my uncle would not allow it.
The assault has begun on the dictatorship of Fidel Castro.
And then the Bay of Pigs invasion occurred 2 months later. My uncle said during that invasion that he wanted to take the CIA and shatter it into 1,000 pieces and scatter it to the winds. And he fired Alan Dulles, he fired General Cabell, and he fired Richard Bissell, three top leaders of the clandestine services.
Robert Kennedy's son told me his father shared a similar disdain for the CIA.
My father, a week before he was killed, told it, and when he had pulled ahead in the California primary, it was clear that he had a very good chance of ending up in the White House, and he started thinking about governance. Told his staff that one of the first things that he was going to do when he became president was to remove the clandestine services from the CIA. And the CIA continued to maintain a antipathy toward my family that went up into the 1980s.
But those plans all changed in the early hours of the morning of June 5th, 1968.
So I thank all of you who made this possible this evening, all of the effort that you made, and all of the people whose names I haven't mentioned.
The 42-year-old candidate had just celebrated winning California's Democratic presidential primary. He delivered his victory speech from the embassy ballroom of the Los Angeles Ambassador Hotel.
My thanks to all of you, and now it's on to Chicago, and let's win there. Thank you.
Moments later, he'd been shot.
Senator Kennedy has been shot. Is that possible?
No!
Is that possible?
No!
It could.
Everyone else!
Is it possible, ladies and gentlemen? It is possible. He has. Not only Senator Kennedy. Oh, my God. Senator Kennedy has been shot. And another man, a Kennedy campaign manager, and possibly shot in the head. I am right here. Rafer Johnson has a hold of a man who apparently has fired the shot.
24-year-old Sirhan B. Sirhan was captured at the scene with a .22 caliber revolver in his hand.
Senator Robert Francis Kennedy died at 1:44 a.m. today, June 6, 1968.
That evening, President Lyndon Johnson addressed the nation.
200 million Americans did not strike down Robert Kennedy last night, any more than they struck down President John F. Kennedy in 1963 or Dr. Martin Luther King in April of this year. But those awful events give us ample warning that in a climate of extremism, of disrespect for law, of contempt for the rights of others, violence may bring down the very best among us.
At his trial in 1969, Sirhan Sirhan admitted that he shot Kennedy, though he later claimed to have no memory of the act. He was originally sentenced to death, later commuted to life in prison, and is currently approaching 50 years behind bars. But all these years later, RFK Jr. isn't convinced that Sirhan is responsible for his father's death.
Paul Schrade, who was one of my father's closest friends and who was shot in the head the night that my father was shot and actually received, was shot by the first of Sirhan's bullets, the two bullets that went in my father's direction. One of them hit Paul Schrade, and Paul has maintained for many, many years that my father was not killed by Sirhan. There was five other people who were shot by Sirhan besides Paul, but that the bullets that killed my father actually came from behind, according to Thomas Noguchi's autopsy, which is called in the literature the perfect autopsy. The gun was actually touching his body. They were contact shots when those four shots were fired. And Sirhan was always in front of my father and was 3 to 5 feet in front of him. And there were 77 eyewitnesses and nobody saw him behind him.
Since 1974, Schrade, a former aide to Robert Kennedy, has maintained that there was a second gunman on the scene, RFK Jr., who visited Sirhan last year in the California State Prison Complex where he was being held, has come to believe that Schrade is right.
You know, this is an area that I've never wanted to get into, but Paul has maintained for many years that the wrong person was convicted of the crime and that my father, who was the chief law enforcement officer of the land, would be deeply disturbed that somebody had been wrongly convicted of a crime. And he persuaded me after many years to sit down and read the autopsy reports and read the other police reports and the other evidence. And I ended up talking to many of the people who were eyewitnesses that night and came to the conclusion that the crime ought to be reinvestigated.
But talking about what might have happened or what history may have gotten wrong is painful for the son that carries his father's name.
You know, my mother's about to celebrate the 50th anniversary of my father's death, and I've had invitations from every news organization to come in and talk about this issue, and I've said no to everybody. So I don't want to go down that road with you.
50 years later, what moves him is the memory of his father that so many Americans still keep alive.
I get reminders of it almost on a daily basis from people who come up to me in airports and on the street or at speeches and said, you know, I became a nurse because of your father, or I went into public service, or I ran for mayor, or people like yesterday, a producer from a TV show who told me that her name was Carrie Kennedy and that she had been born right after my father died and named for my baby sister.
What we need in the United States is not division. What we need in the United States is not hatred. What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another. Feeling of justice toward those who still suffer within our country, whether they be white or whether they be black.
Robert F. Kennedy, killed 50 years ago today.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.